Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a great God. We exalt your name together this morning. We praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We recognize with the psalmist that your greatness we cannot fathom. But Lord, we want to be like the psalmist exalts us to be. We want to be those people of that one generation commends your work to another, that we would be those people that we are willing to share our stories that others might hear of the good news of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for Caroline, we pray for Ron as they bring their story to us this morning. Would you give them confidence, Father, in yourself? Would you give them clear thinking? And as they share, would they know that we're with them and we're holding them in prayer? And that we, Lord, together might be encouraged and blessed as family as we share together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Caroline, thank you.
Thank you, Kay. As I said in the first service, this is actually more anxiety-provoking for me to do this than it is to sing. So apologies me for the wobbles. Just to give a little bit of context for people who don't know me, I'm Caroline, as Kay said. My husband is Kevin, who just did the kids' talk. So just as well that the kids have left, so they haven't got both parents embarrassing them this morning. So we've got Emily, who's just turned 16, and Samuel, who is nearly 14, and they are an absolute blessing. When Kay asked me if I would do this testimony, preferably about how the church praying during exam season impacted on our family, I thought, there's no way that Emily is going to agree to that. Those of you who know Emily will know that she's not one who likes to have attention drawn to her, hence my hesitation. However, when I tentatively broached the subject, she very emphatically said, oh yes, please do. So here I am. Emily is a very diligent student and she works hard at school. However, her preferences and her talents lie more with the creative subjects than the academic. Being at the grammar school, this can be difficult as some of her friends don't have to work as hard to achieve top grades. Understandably, this has at times caused anxiety and upset. Kevin and I were really not looking forward to navigating the exam season and the potential distress that it was going to cause. In the run-up, we had many conversations about doing your best and striving to do enough to get the grades needed for the next stage, but not to press herself too hard. The pressure was obvious, but on the whole, Emily was managing to get a reasonable balance between revising and taking time out. When Jackie, our young people's and kids' leader, put together the lists of all the exams for the young people so that everyone could pray, I have to say, I thought it was a lovely idea, and I knew that it would help, of course, but I had no idea how powerful it would be. On the first day of the exams, Emily was surprisingly calm, and I have to say we were so relieved when I dropped her at school that first day that she seemed to be experiencing a real God-given peace. Apart from a few wobbles, she maintained that peace throughout the exams. She came back from all the exams calmly, and at no point did she get upset about how she'd done. This was just so lovely to see and a real blessing to us all. After one particular paper, she came home saying it felt like God had written the paper because the questions were so good. Partway through, Emily had a day with two exams, both papers that she was more concerned about. In the car on the way to school, she joked, I really hope the people from church are praying hard today. It hit me then how meaningful it was to her and how she knew that those prayers were being answered. Sorry, I'm wobbling again. Thought having done this once, I'd be all right. When I asked her about giving this testimony, as I said earlier, she really wanted me to do it. She is so grateful that people were praying for her. It made her feel loved and supported. I am so grateful for our church family. Thank you that so many of you took the time to pray for not only Emily, but all the young people. And thank you for asking us how she was getting on. Thank you for caring. It may not seem much, but I feel that it has been such a good witness to our young people to show them that because they're part of the church family, that people care about them and have the faith to pray for them. And will make time to do so, knowing that God will answer those prayers. And I've been reminded yet again of God's faithfulness. He has unfailingly been there for us during this season. Of course, we don't have just one event going on at a time, do we? And life has been pretty full on for us in addition to the exams. But God has supported us through it all. On days when I really haven't been sure how I'm going to get through, he's carried me. I know I couldn't do it all without him. I'm so, so grateful that I don't have to. Emily and I have chosen the next song, Goodness of God. The words really speak of my, and I'm sure your, experience of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. My prayer is that I will continue to have opportunities to proclaim the goodness of God. So we're going to sing the goodness of God. I'm going to attempt to sing the first verse. Excuse the wobbles in my voice. And then if you'd like to join us on the chorus, that would be lovely. Thank you.
That I wake up to closer than anyone else in our lives. And we pray, Father, that we would walk closely with you. Keep us close to you, Lord. Especially when times get difficult, Lord, we look to you in the times of storm and the times of difficulties. And Lord, as we sing now, we pray that you would keep us strong, that you would anchor us into you as our rock, Lord. We praise this. Praise you in Jesus' name. For your love, for your strength, for your rock. Lord, help us to stand on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Ron Dunning, and Kay has asked me to speak about my journey. Collecting stamps for attendance at Sunday school and singing in the choir were my first exposure to church and religious experiences. I grew up in West London, not too far from Heathrow Airport. I was always encouraged to attend church, even though my parents were not practicing Christians. They wanted me to have something decent and solid in my life. I stopped going to both when I was about 10, much to the relief of the choir master. When I was 13, a friend at school invited me to his boys' brigade company, and that included a traditional Bible class on Sunday mornings before the church service. That invitation has greatly influenced my life and directly results in me telling you my testimony this morning. Even as a late starter, I soon became immersed in the BB and all its activities, and eventually it took over a big portion of my life when I became a young leader. At the same time, I believed in God, but had not experienced or accepted his Son as my Lord and Saviour. However, I grew in knowledge of Jesus through running BB Bible classes and using books by William Barclay in his time an inspirational Bible scholar from Scotland. My early years of being a BB leader amongst my peers were challenging, but I survived and experienced for the first time someone personally praying with me. It was around the early 1980s that I started to understand that you had to make a personal decision to follow Jesus and to accept him as your Saviour, and that he died on the cross for my sins. I was greatly encouraged by several outstanding Christian BB leaders at the time, which was a period of renewal and growth for the evangelical church. There were many evangelistic events during this period, and I went to several of them, including Mission to London, held in large sports stadiums. I never had the courage to respond to the invitations and calling to get to know Jesus personally, and never went forward when challenged to do so, even though I knew it was what God wanted me to do. 1983 was the centenary of the founding of the Boys Brigade, and many special events had been arranged for that year to celebrate the occasion. It was at a large BB rally at the start of 1983 in Central Hall, Westminster, across the road from Parliament, that a speaker by the name of Eric Delve was challenging the young people and leaders to become real followers of Jesus, that at long last I had the real courage to stand up and respond to what I had believed for a long time. I'll always remember that evening. As a young lad that had suffered, my football referee and said, "Well done, ref," as I went forward, just as many players had said before and after on the pitch, if only, as referees and officials in sport will testify. Since that evening in 1983, I've had a fantastic journey with Jesus as my personal friend and saviour, through highs and lows of life. I'm so thankful for the way he constantly surrounds me with his love, protection, and encouragement, especially at times when things get tough and when I completely ignore him and do things in my own strength. In the Boys Brigade, we had a hymn which brings together the organization's motto, "Sure and Steadfast," and its emblem centered around the anchor with a cross on top of that anchor. I'm extremely grateful to David and the worship group this morning that they've given us a chance to sing that song, that worship number. "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" And then the chorus goes on, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." At some time in most people's lives, we will face challenges and disappointments. And in these periods, it's so easy to lose a sense of direction and purposes and feel that God has deserted us. It is in these times that we must not lose faith and continue to trust and hold on to Jesus as our rock and saver, as that hymn says. I can recall two major events in my life when this has been very true. Firstly, towards the end of the 1990s, I had worked at Barclays Bank for 28 years since leaving school and was aiming to complete 40 years and the benefits that would bring. However, I was made redundant from my senior management role, along with many of my colleagues and friends. Even before I had left the bank, I'd had a telephone call from the new chief executive of Ealing YMCA in West London, where I had previously been the treasurer and trustee, inviting me to meet up for coffee. I went along and we started talking about why I had stepped away from the YMCA a year or so before, and I casually mentioned that I was soon to be made redundant. Soon after that first meeting, he was back on the phone asking me to go and meet him again, and he said he was looking for a research manager to explore opportunities to grow and expand the work of the YMCA, and would I be interested? Before I had officially left the bank, I was working for that YMCA, becoming its development director, as we were able to open many new homeless hostels for young single homeless people across West London, often in partnership with local churches. That for me was the start of a second career which lasted 16 years until I retired following my accident. God had called me to serve him in the YMCA, and it was both an exciting and challenging time, helping those in life that had not had the opportunities that I had benefited from throughout my life. Eventually, I was called to serve the YMCA across Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire and Bucks and lead its housing and community services. Then in 2016, I was on holiday with my friend in Tenerife when I went for a swim. And the next thing I can remember was waking up some 2 weeks later, about to be transported by air ambulance back to England. I then spent the next 8 months in hospital as I had fractured my neck that resulted in an incomplete fracture of my spine at C4 high level. That meant I could not move, stand, or control much of my body, movements, and functions. I left hospital in a wheelchair, unable to stand for more than 5 minutes without passing out. During this time, I felt a real peace and never once felt lonely or isolated or asked why, and can testify that I felt a peace and really blessed by God. Subsequently, God has been good to me, enabling me to walk and stand again and to live a fulfilling life, even though it was not what I had envisaged when I retired. That takes me back to that traditional BB hymn, and in particular the chorus which concludes, "Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." I would encourage everyone to remember those last two lines in times of challenges and troubles in life, and to make sure you have Jesus as your rock. The question I hear many people asking these days is what makes a dependable foundation for life? Simple answer, as far as I'm concerned, is Jesus. And Jesus says in Luke 6, verses 48 and 49, "They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." The words of Jesus are a dependable foundation for our lives. Obeying God is like building a house on strong, solid foundation that stands firm when the storm comes. I have experienced that firsthand. There are times when life is calm and our foundations do not seem to matter so much. But when difficulties come, our foundations are tested. That is why I'm so grateful that my life has been built on firm foundations of knowing and trusting Jesus Christ as my rock and salvation. In the times when I have been afraid and alone, my Christian faith has given me so much hope and courage. When I have been at my weakest, faith has helped me find true strength. And when I felt trapped, the presence of Christ has helped me to carry on. What I can say is that my faith tells me I am loved and that I am forgiven, regardless of how many times I fall and fail. God has directed my life over the years, and just over 12 months ago, some strange manager stopped the traffic on the main road outside this building and helped an old man with a walking frame cross that road from the old, now gone, derelict car park and up the ramp outside this building and welcome me into CBC, which has now become my spiritual home following moving to Highcliffe. That strange man was soon offering to take me out for coffee. I'm sure you've now worked out who he was. And it is a privilege to call CBC home. And I'm grateful for the challenging teaching and nourishment we receive here. In closing, can I just make three short points? Obedience to Christ determines the quality of our foundations. Mine is always in need of strengthening. Developing a dependable foundation is our responsibility. I just cannot abdicate it and expect Jesus to do it for me. Jesus is the rock of my foundation, and without him, no foundation will last. And in closing, in Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen.
Wow. Ron, thank you so much. I know David's going to help you to move. So while you do, I'll just want to say thank you again to Ron. I mean, I think there's something really precious about somebody being able to say that God is a faithful God and that you can stand on the rock of Jesus even when life doesn't work out how you hope it would. It's lovely to hear, isn't it, answered prayer. But sometimes we have to face the reality that prayer doesn't seem to get answered in the way that we hoped it might, or life takes a turn that really doesn't make any sense. But we've just heard a story of God's faithfulness through the storm. And isn't that what we need to hold on to? That firm foundation doesn't move. It doesn't. If we hold on, actually, Pauline put it beautifully last week as well, didn't she? If we hold into him, we find he's already holding onto us, don't we? And that's the truth that we have heard again this morning. So, Ron, Caroline, can we just thank them again? I just absolutely see.